This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning and welcome in. Saturday Suckage for you. Wake and Bake Club is right here for you. Some of you Sox fans need it. So that's why Mark Grody and I are here. We're pleasers, not teasers, and we'll go from Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. And later on in the show, there'll be some Saturday snogging discussion. But first, Mark, how are you, sir?
I am doing great, Stevie Sunshine, here on a Saturday morning in downtown Chicago, sitting on my couch and talking to you. I mean, how could life get any better?
Well, we only have 3 hours to name the ways. Actually, we don't even have that, because we will be, later on in the show, we'll be replaying the Joe Maddon interview from inside the clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel, and it was illuminating, and it was very that is the organization from which Tony La Russa comes, and that's where we're going to start the show. So we'll bring you Joe Maddon later on. You may have heard of him, you Cubs people. You Tony La Russa, the name, boy, look how far we've come in this week of Ricky Renteria is gone. And, by the way, it wasn't about Game 3, but basically it was all about Game 3 because they couldn't pitch, and we fired the pitching coach and the manager. And so there's some crap to wade through that Rick Hahn said. But now Tony La Russa's here. So let me get from you, Mark, your thoughts when you first heard that or read that, and have they changed at all?
I was shocked. when I read that, because it's just a classic case of a guy. And there have been other coaches in baseball and other sports when their names pop up, like, oh, hadn't heard his name in a long time. Didn't even know he was still interested. Like Joe Gibbs back in the day when he had his second run with the then Washington
Redskins.
Played. That's a pretty, pretty good example right there. And that's just off the top of my damn head. Man, I am clicking here on a Saturday. But there are guys that go away and then they come back. And it happens sometimes successfully, in Joe Gibbs's case, not successfully. So when I heard it, I was surprised like that, just because I didn't know. The second part was I didn't have a problem with it at all because it was very simple to me. It's very simple. So Tony La Russa interviews with Rick Hahn and whomever else might be in the room, but presumably it's Rick Hahn doing the main question. I'm sure maybe Kenny Williams is in there as well. I doubt the chairman would be part of the interview process. They would report to him afterwards. So they ask him all the questions that everybody has been asking all week long on The Score, whether it be hosts or texters or callers, and I've listened and consumed a lot, like I'm sure you have, and there are legitimate concerns. But it's very simple to me. Rick Hahn asks those questions. If he doesn't get the answers he needs, you move on to the next guy. If he does get the answers he needs, you have a great manager. You have a great manager because one thing that Tony La Russa has been is a great manager. You're allowed to use that word when you refer to Tony La Russa. He's been great. He's been great at doing that job. Like, he is one of those managers who helps you win games. So that's my reaction to it. I think I have simplified it more than other people have. There's been a lot of rage and confusion, I think, from just about everybody on The Score. I don't think there's anybody who has supported it. I'm not saying he'd been my first choice, but it's very simple. Interview him. If he doesn't sound like he could relate to the modern ball player, if he doesn't relate to modern numbers and metrics and things, then move on to the next guy. It's not that difficult.
I thought this was it is simplified that way, and that's exactly how the process should work. Even if you really like him, you still move on to the next guy because you need to comparative shop in a lot of different ways. And when I first heard it, I thought, oh my God, this is Chairman Reinsdorf enforcing his or playing his I get one guy card, would you talk to him card, that kind of thing. You do what your boss...
I agree with that, yes.
You do what your boss wants you to do. And then as he's the favorite and it grows, and you're right, the hysteria around this, and I came to think there is a huge advantage to doing it this way. I didn't think it was any kind of conspiracy, like, all right, we're going to do this so our real choice looks better than this.
Exactly.
I don't think that was the plan. I do think that this is partly a favor to Chairman Reinsdorf. I think it's also one of the smartest things the White Sox can do first, and here's why. Anybody else who's been mentioned, who has been rumored, is not available to be interviewed right now. You can't. They're suspended. Mm-hmm. A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora are suspended until the end of the World Series, and we haven't even begun the World Series. So there's no sense waiting around. You get on with the business you need to get on with if you're the White Sox. And here is what makes this move with Tony La Russa great to me, is... He's been, again, third winningest manager. He's a great manager. And he's been involved in an advisory role with three different teams since he left the Cardinals. Since he won the World Series, left the Cardinals, rode off into the sunset, didn't actually go off into the sunset. He rode off to Arizona and then Boston and now the Angels. And what you're going to get is a free look at a guy who, is he too old to manage? I don't know. Cubs fans will remember Jack McKeon beat their sorry butts in the 2003 World Series. He came in the middle of the season, and those Marlins turned it around. And the advantage of talking to La Russa now is it goes in so many different directions. It's hydra-headed. First of all, you get to look at three different organizations for which he served as an advisor. And one was Arizona, and he was in charge of almost everything there. He was in charge of everything, and he had Dave Stewart as a GM, and it was a mess. It was miserable. They finally demoted him, and they made him leave, and when he left, they got better. Then he went to Boston. Dave Dombrowski brought him in, and Dave Dombrowski said, "Here's going to be my advisor." He had a hand in hiring Alex Cora. What did he, you know, was that endorsing cheating? Is that endorsing, or is it not cheating unless you get caught? Well, they got caught. Everybody got caught. One way or another, everybody got caught and punished. But you get a free look at what La Russa did in Arizona, free look at what La Russa did in Boston, free look at what's going on now with Joe Maddon and the Angels and how that organization works. And then, based on what you know, you get to see if La Russa is going to lie to you. Is he going to be honest? Is he going to be honest about his failures, his role in the failures? And I have to believe Rick Hahn will be the only guy in the room for most of that. He has to be. It's his decision. Whatever Kenny right. Williams might think, whatever Jerry Reinsdorf, we already know what Reinsdorf thinks. It has to be Rick Hahn being comfortable with the guy who's going to manage. That's the relationship. That's what it comes down to. And you're talking about a guy who, when he managed, they had trouble with the whole bullpen thing at the end. And La Russa's on the phone, and they had phone trouble, and they had trouble making up lies and all that crap. But Tony La Russa ran a bullpen better than Ricky Renteria and Don Cooper did. And that was one of the major reasons Ricky Renteria and Don Cooper are not there. I don't know what – I've never heard La Russa's views on the opener and as it extends now. But he's a guy who was never afraid to wear out the bullpen and wear out the walk to the mound to get the ball from the guy, because that's what he did, because that's what Earl Weaver did, that's what Sparky Anderson did. La Russa yes. didn't invent this, but La Russa carried it on. And he has to be a guy you listen to, right?
Yeah, I think right now Tony La Russa would still be great at running a bullpen and running his starters and knowing what to do. I don't think he'd hold on to what he did in his final year with the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, that would not be – I mean, look, this guy progressed and did things differently every year of his career in terms of how he handled his ball clubs. He was always ahead of the curve in that regard. And again, I'll go back to it. If Rick Hahn doesn't get the answers he wants, he will take that to Chairman Reinsdorf and say, look, I know he's your guy, but this, this, and this, I can't work with that. And I would think, based on reports, that Chairman Reinsdorf would say, all right, move on to the next guy. So I don't know. Maybe I'm naive to trust the process, but in that case, I trust Rick Hahn to get the answers he needs, and if he doesn't, then move on to the next. The other thing, too, is... just a little personal experience that I've had with Tony La Russa. Back when he was managing with the St. Louis Cardinals, and I was covering the Cubs as a beat reporter for WBBM. This is before my days doing Cubs pre and post. But I remember going over to the visiting dugout when he was in town with St. Louis. I had a question for him, something about a lineup, something innocuous, something stupid, but something I needed to know. And I asked him directly. There was no other reporters around. I just caught him coming out of the manager's room, that tiny little room. You know the room I'm speaking of, musty mm-hmm. little room. And he kind of snapped at me, got mad at me, like, kind of, how dare you try to ask me a question right now when I'm doing this? And I don't even remember how it ended. It ended with me having a very negative thoughts on Tony La Russa. Fast forward now to his days in Arizona. I'm walking through the press box in Arizona doing pre and post for the Cubs. I'm always thinking about who's my next interview going to be. I literally run into Tony La Russa. Well, I shouldn't say literally, because we didn't knock into each other. I saw him. I said, just taking a chance, just like I do with anybody that had a big name. Hey, Mark Rohde, Cubs pre and post, would you have some time to chat? And he was like, absolutely, sure. Pulls me into like one of the other studios or booths, and we sat there and talked for an hour. And he was incredible, and his ideas were progressive. His thought process was amazing, and he was a willing talker. So it worked for me on a couple levels. On a personal level, like, kind of changing my opinion of what kind of a dude he was, and then learning some baseball from him. And I'm still, as we speak, still trying to find that digital recording I had with him to find out, to get more intel from him, because it was fantastic. And you know how we are. We're petty as reporters. If you get blown off by one guy, right? Like, oh, he's a jerk. He's a bad man. And that's kind of the way I probably was for, oh, he's a bad guy. And then, which was just stupid of me. But then having this conversation with him, now I turned the corner, probably, again, because I'm a, ego-filled reporter. He sat there with me for an hour. And it was one of those things. You've had these moments, Steve, where you're like, oh, this guy really actually wants to talk. He's engaged. He doesn't want to wrap up the interview. you know what I mean? So that was the experience that I had with Tony La Russa, for whatever it's worth. And I think that the part that might be worth to White Sox fans, because I realize I just told a lot, but the part that might be worth to White Sox fans is that, this is Arizona, it's a few years ago, but he still had what I perceived as a very active, progressive baseball mind. That's all.
I hope you find that, because I would like to know what forms of active and progressive baseball thoughts he offered at the time, and we can put it into perspective. We can frame it a little better.
Yes.
I've seen both sides of that, and when it comes down, because I sat with him for an hour before a game one time, and for when I was doing Out Loud interviews, and he's going through those cards that other people would put on computer later on, and he was going through them and just saying, look, this is all I had. Look who I'm competing with in the American League when I'm brought in to manage. And he talks about the Weavers and the Andersons and lists all the managers he's competing against. He says, all I have are these. He said, this is where I have to start. So he was, and I wouldn't even call them advanced metrics. They were simply they were probabilities. So the theory is the same. The concept is right. And that's what he would do, because that's what Earl Weaver did. Earl Weaver kept a book. He had a book. He had notes. And he believed in pitching and three-run homers. And by the way, look at what's happening in the playoffs. Pitching and three-run homers. See the Dodgers for details of getting back into this. It's just that part hasn't changed with him. And then I've also seen him really angry after a game. Because there's such an edge of ferocity about him. And I know that the two times I saw him, that the one time that really jumps out was after Daryl Kyle died, and they went through certain, they played a game, it was at home, and they lost, and reporters wanted to lob that softball question, and I get it, because Tony is ferocious after a game, and there's a smoldering, you just don't know what's going to erupt, if anything. And he refuses to accept letting his players have an excuse that Daryl Kyle died and they're still mourning him because they had a game to play. He wasn't buying that, and he was snapping at reporters, sending a message to his players. And that can be pretty intimidating. So that's the way he is. And it doesn't surprise me you found him engaging and intelligent. I found him that way too. And can you imagine between Chairman Reinsdorf and Rick Hahn and Tony La Russa, there's gonna be an awful lot that's gonna be lawyered in that kind of front office, that kind of hierarchy, with all of them having law degrees like that. That could be a thing. And I do think that he's you're not obligated to hire the guy.
Exactly.
You can interview everybody.
Right.
And here's something that was brought up to me yesterday. So I tell you what, I know we're coming up on a break that we never
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You just talk.
Well, we're gonna take the break and we'll Okay. There are two issues here about Tony La Russa's involvement in cheating with Alex Cora in Boston, as well as Houston, and then the whole Roids thing, defending obvious Roids people, and Jose Canseco was right and Tony La Russa wasn't, and Mark McGwire was all about that, and Tony defended all that. And is that just a man, is he willfully stupid, or is he just lying because that's what a manager has to do for his players sometimes? And does he really believe that kneeling is wrong because he's willfully stupid, that he doesn't realize why they kneel, And I don't know that you have to look very far to figure it out, but he refuses to do that. It has nothing to do with the flag or the patriotism or anything. I know Bernsey replayed something from this year where he echoed that, where he repeated that, and that's willful stupidity. There's also something else, especially with these White Sox and their swagger and change the game. How does Tony La Russa deal with that kind of dig me baseball, dig me response? Does he let it go? You don't like what our guys do? Then get them out, which is kind of a Rick Hahn repeated that. What do you think? What's your response?
My response is simple to that. Again, that's the interview process. Hey, Tony, we got a team that had a lot of swagger, and we're cool with Eloy Jimenez taking the button down to about the middle of his stomach. And we like that Yoan Moncada spells out his name with all of the chains that he wears. We love it. We like it when Tim Anderson, as it's part of our promotional product, when Tim Anderson changes the game and does bat flips. We like all this stuff. Tony, what do you think about that? There's two answers. It'd be, you know what, I'm down with that. I understand I'm older. This is not the way I think. But you know what, I'm going to let them be them. Okay, you passed. Tony says, nah, that's not my thing. It's not going to happen. Thanks, Tony. We're going to move on to the next candidate. Come on in, Jim Leland. So that's a very simple answer to that question. What was the first one you had? You went through three bullet points. What was the first one?
Well, it was the willfully stupid or just covering up cheating or standing on...
Yeah.
In Boston, yes. The Alex Cora thing, Boston gets slapped, Alex Cora came from Houston where they cheated, and then there was the whole steroids thing where he just denied it was happening. I'm sorry, this parade float who's batting third in our order it's all done in the weight room.
This one's very simple for me, too. Every other manager ever would support their players, especially back in the steroids thing. There's tons of managers that did that. I would do that. You would do that. You go to bat, figuratively, for your players. You just do. You're not going to. What do you think you're going to do? Hey, Mark McGwire's cheating, media. What do you think about it? It's just not going to happen. There are rules within a clubhouse. There is no damn manager in their right mind that's going to sell out their players in any way, shape, or form. They're going to look the other way, and I get it. I'm down with it, but I get it. So there's that. Now, the kneeling thing, too, you better come up with a better answer for that, right? I mean, there's just there's no other way to I've got no nuance to that. Come up with a better answer. Even if you don't believe what you're saying, you better come up with a different answer, and you better accept that answer, and you better not speak out about it, because it's just you're not going to get through to modern baseball players if you think any other way. So that one's simple, right?
Well, it should be, but Tony La Russa's, I don't know. I
don't agree on the cheating thing, by the way. Are you with me on that? That every other manager, not that it makes it okay, but every other manager, like we demonize Tony La Russa and some of these other guys. You know, how dare they? We point our fingers, but wouldn't we all do that? Wouldn't we all cover up for our family, for our friends, for our employees? I mean, let's be real here.
You are, but you also have to know at the same time that your credibility is at stake forever after. It's just like the First Amendment. You have a right to free speech. You don't have a right to free consequences. There are consequences for speech. So Tony La Russa is free to choose to talk about his players, defend his players, answer for his players, answer for himself regarding his players any way he sees fit. But he does not get to choose the consequences. Those are determined by other people, some of which can hire him, some of which can root for him, some of which can root against him, and that's the way it works.
You're very wise, Steve.
No, it's not. It's just, I'm just filling time. We're the Village people. Okay, 512, what about Tony's DUI? There are so many reasons to A, wake and bake, and B, not hire that doofus. Yeah, okay, well, I don't know.
And I was kidding about Jim Leland, by the way. I thought it was funny to think about the next old guy to bring in, you know?
Right. So they're a 312 texter. By the way, our tech zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The tech zone number, 312-644-6767. That also, you may note, those of you who are not Wake and Bacon, may note that is also the number that you can dial and get on the air. If we have a breaking phone call, then Trash Panda will play the breaking phone call sounder, and at which point we will stop everything and take the breaking phone call.
Assuming he's actually screening calls. You know, he has a tendency to shut the phone down.
Yeah, he just pushes the button and he X's everything out, and then we get emails about
it. It's a producer, old producer trick. They don't know. I mean, they don't know that we know what goes on back there.
You guys have no idea how annoying that phone ringing is. I mean, it just gets in your head. And
I know.
It's the only thing you can hear.
How can people ring a phone and talk radio? I just don't understand it. Text number 312. Here's what's simple. No one will be hiring Tony Russo now or ever. A.J. Hinch is the best available manager by far. The White Sox are the best team with an opening for a manager. By far, no-brainer, perfect fit. Wait until after the World Series and make him an offer he can't refuse. This ain't nuclear physics. Well, I got a problem with A.J. Hinch. And I got a problem with the way people talk about A.J. Hinch in this current environment. So we're going to take a break as we pause while broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And I will come back with this, and Mark, we will discuss something that is particularly acute to things that played out in the end of the White Sox season and why A.J. Hinch could face some problems.
Okay.
So we'll do that here on Saturday Suckage. A update on our show for the rest of the show, if we have this show. We're on this show. It's not our show. But at noon, Chris Emma will be here. He will join us. He reports for The Score. We'll talk Bears with Chris. We'll talk Bears with Mark Grody. Scott Merkin covers the White Sox. We'll renew our discussions with him at 1 p.m. And we will have a replay of the Joe Maddon interview with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel from Inside the Clubhouse earlier today. In the meantime, this is Saturday Suckage. But you just figured that out, right? You already knew that. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. Welcome in. Welcome to... I guess we're going to have to change Saturday Suckage to Dead Guy Radio. So we've had one suggestion on the text line. White Sox are bringing in the frozen head of Ted Williams to interview. Somebody else wonders if Herman Franks is still available. So that's it. That's yes, where Franks, we're going.
I do remember Herman Franks is the first manager that I have... like my sports consciousness was available for. I was just a child, but I do remember him being kind of a roly-poly fella, Herman Franks.
Yeah.
Am I right about that? Yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yeah. He was round. He was a round man. So that was your first manager. You were actually like manager coach. You were able to know that was your. You're able to recall that.
Yeah, like first, that's the first Cubs manager I remember, Herman Franks, and then I guess after that it would have been Jim Frey, yeah?
I was just wondering, because at the same time, if it might have been Abe Gibron, because I always think of just Doug Buffon telling stories
my first Bears consciousness of a coach, ready for this, Neil Armstrong. A lot of people think that he was the first man on the, no, he was a Bears coach. So, yeah, there really, for all you kids out there, there really was a Bears head coach named Neil Armstrong. He was the first, and I guess it would have been Ditka that replaced Neil Armstrong, correct, though?
I don't know the sequence.
I think that meant, look it up, studs.
It. Yeah.
Find out, was it Ditka that replaced Neil Armstrong? Was it Jim Frey that replaced Herman Franks? I seriously would like to know if my childhood memory is correct.
Les will be on the phone before studs can, before Trash Panda can look it up.
They're spelled all right, so differently.
All right, here you go, guys. Neil Armstrong was coach of the Bears from 78 to 81 when he was replaced by Mike Ditka.
Ditka. And what about the check that Cubs thing for me too, if you don't mind? So I'm one. Yeah.
What was the Cubs one?
All right. All right, Studs. You ready to start listening to the show? So it was.
I was looking up the Neil Armstrong thing when you were talking.
All right, Trash. Take it easy. No, the other one was who succeeded Herman Franks as Cubs manager. That means who was after.
Thank you. Yes, I knew that.
Oh.
Sorry, man. I know you were.
No,
like,
I'm glad you were
like
explaining
a lot at Western Illinois. I'm sorry. You actually graduated with better honors than I did at ISU.
Yeah, so. See, exactly.
Yeah.
Harvard of the Midwest, guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I've heard. The Leathernecks.
Yeah, and Studs was also lamenting the fact they wouldn't let him into the Batman shooting downtown, even though he has the Batman tattoo.
Oh yeah. It's completely unreasonable of them.
I was like surprised by your, I don't know if it was on Instagram, but you put a picture up and you said something, you wrote like something, hey, pretty cool, I guess. And it was one of the cop cars of Gotham City.
Sarcasm.
Why was it only I guess?
Cool? I was being what's the word for that when you're downplaying how cool you actually think something is? Because I was really excited by it.
Immodest would be it.
Is being modest about it, yes. Because anyone that knows me reasonably well, not even reasonably well, knows me at all, knows how big of a fan of Batman I am.
Right.
So they would know that I'm obviously downplaying how excited I am. By the way, the manager that succeeded Herman Franks was Joey something.
Joey Amalfitano.
Amalfitano.
Oh,
there you go.
Man. Wasn't
Joey,
he interim?
Joey Emma, not so good.
But, yeah, he was interim. He was interim for 79, and then in 1980, it was Preston Gomez.
Oh, my God.
And then Lee Elia.
Come on, look. for all the time.
Oh, Grauber sorry. The 1982 manager of the Cubs I mispronounced. My bad.
And Joey Amalfitano.
No, he's not just any manager, Trash Panda.
Right.
He's the soundbite manager of the history of the team.
Now we have to get Grauber on the phone because Grauber is going to beat the hell out of Trash Panda. Joey Amalfitano was a third or first base coach, and he must have gotten elevated to the job. And then who is the other guy after Lee Elia?
Preston Gomez?
Oh, my God. I don't remember that.
He was a third base coach for the Dodgers. He left the Dodgers to manage the Padres and then came to the Cubs.
God, there was way too many people before it got to Jim Frey. I mean, I remember Amalfitano, but only as a base coach. I didn't remember the interimness, but that makes sense, actually.
Okay. All right.
Boy, we went down a rabbit hole, didn't we?
Yeah. Anyways, as far as A.J. Hinch is concerned, now, let me review the bidding here, because you could bookend the White Sox season with getting jump-started with Dallas Keuchel ripping his teammates, right? Is that fair? A lot of people point to that.
Sure.
That post-game Zoom.
Right. He never did it again, which I thought was interesting. He never.
Well, they started playing like a team that would go on. They were a team that would be the first team to clinch a playoff spot and then ended up in the seventh seed, in case you're wondering why Rick Renteria got fired. And one of the things that came out of that is that Jose Abreu talked about players, you know, they sort of bookended Jose Abreu and Ken Rosenthal's report that veterans didn't like that the manager didn't hold younger players accountable, that he should have an issue with the way things were handled, as Ricky Renteria was a guy who was fumbling his way through and finding his way through, succeeding in a lot of ways of taking that team that sucked, helping those players get molded into a team that got to the postseason, failed miserably as soon as they clinched a berth, and we presume that's the accountability. So let's say Keuchel and Abreu's thoughts, statements, they let down. Abreu was saying they let down, they exhaled after they clinched a spot. So let's say those bookend the season. And then Ken Rosenthal's report that the veterans were not happy with Renteria not holding younger guys accountable. So A.J. Hinch was not part of the cheating Astros. He was not part of the cheating that the Astros engaged in. He was neutered. He neutered himself. He failed to stop it. He said he was against it. He broke a TV or two. He told his guys he didn't like it. And he's the manager, and they didn't stop. To me, that shows zero accountability as a manager. That shows zero credibility to me as a manager. His players weren't going to listen to him. He didn't say, this has to stop. We're going to win the right way, or we're not going to win at all. And White Sox players will figure this out. Why should they listen to him? That's my problem with A.J. Hinch right now. If he doesn't have the spine to stop his players when they were engaging in something that he clearly disagreed with, that he clearly knew was wrong, that he has clearly paid a price for, why are White Sox players going to listen to him when he tries to discipline them? What do you think? An issue or not?
I don't know how these players, I don't know if they would think that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I bet most players have been around another player who has cheated or been untoward, perhaps a manager at some level of their baseball lives. It's very possible that is the case. It's a great question, because you don't want the kids in the class that are innocent and trying to do well, and then you have a few bad seeds that are not, and then the boss or the teacher is not. It makes complete sense. I can see how that would piss off the innocent kids. It's like the whole steroids era, I suppose, where nobody did enough to stop it, and the people that weren't doing it were like, well, what the hell? What am I doing here? Why am I not doing steroids if nobody is going to bring this to a halt? So I don't know if That's my long way of saying. I think that maybe the AJ Hinch credibility will supersede that, because all the information that is out there about him, it feels like, even though the cheating is the overriding, unavoidable topic, it feels like a lot of the information that has come out from the baseball insiders, and presumably the baseball players would pay attention to that, is that AJ Hinch is a great, super smart baseball mind, and that he is a guy who is capable of getting you to the next level. So I don't know that players are that thoughtful to think it that far through, to think, oh, I don't know about this guy. He may allow garbage can banging again. I think they would go with the other side of it, and that is the baseball intel side, I think. But I have no idea what those individual White Sox players think. I think another problem with all of this is, like, in terms of the news cycle that has been nonstop this week on The Score. And understandably, if I was hosting every day on The Score, Tony La Russa would have been a topic every single day. The reason it is because there have been no other reports of any other candidates. And I know that there is the waiting for the AJ Hinch and Alex Cora to become available, but there hasn't been one report, local or national, from any reporters attaching any other real candidate. Like, there's been no, well, reportedly, Bruce Bochy is interviewing for the job. Reportedly, so-and-so bench coach is going to interview. Like, no other reports. There's been one guy linked to the White Sox by a credible reporter, like him or not, in Bob Nightingale. Other than that, nothing, man. No other reports of anything.
Well, I was going to save it for later, but here's the scoop. Connie Mack is going to interview for the... All right, we're going to take a break.
Perfect.
When we come back, there's more stuff we can continue, because there's a difference between AJ Hinch and Alex Cora, and we should at least point it out. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Top of the hour, we will talk some Bears football. Chris Emmel will join us, and Mark Grody will join us because he's contractually obligated to.
That's right.
Right here on Saturday Suckage, the Wake and Bake Club. Now, we're trying to make it, we suck so you don't have to, and we're trying to make it passable as you consider Tony La Russa or Casey Stengel as the next White Sox manager. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Just in case you think we're joking about Saturday Suckage, all you need to know is hear our producer try to name Cubs managers and the beating he's taking on the text lines.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. The Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Is also brought to you by some kind of paddle just tattooing Trash Panda for... Wow, your producer's lack of baseball knowledge legit makes my head hurt. And somebody listing off, this has got to be Les's number, 82, 83, Ilya, August 83, Charlie Fox, Jim Fry, 1984 to June 86, Gene Michael, June 86 till August, and it just goes on and on. Frank Lucchese, rest of 1987, rest in peace. And he didn't know how to pronounce. Wow, Mark. You know what that means?
That means that Trash Panda would rather take a phone call than defend his lack of baseball knowledge.
I know he defended.
All right, I'll defend it real quick and just say exactly what I said to that guy, which is, I'm sorry I don't have encyclopedic knowledge of how to pronounce Cubs managers from the early 80s, 10 years before I was born. My bad. Anyway.
No. Wait. You said sue me, which is
oh,
so
yeah.
90s.
I said that to a different
sue
guy.
Me.
Yeah, sue me. My
Come
bad,
on,
all right?
So sue me.
Anyway.
You're hilarious, man.
Cannon Sandwich has been hanging on for a long time, so I want to make sure he gets on here. He wants to talk about Ozzie.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, go ahead. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. I use that term loosely. what I'm wondering is, why was Ozzie dismissed so quickly at the beginning of the hunt? I mean, he analyzes the team every day. He knows the team. The language barrier is no problem. He definitely knows baseball. I have a bunch of friends that are Sox fans. We all want Ozzie, and for him to not even be considered, does Reinsdorf hold a grudge against him?
It's very simple. The very, very simple. I have a lot of simple answers on the show today, I've noticed. It exploded at the end with two guys that are still there in Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn. They tried this. Any team that hires Ozzie Guillen is going to have to deal with some degree of ridiculousness, and it got ridiculous with the White Sox at the end. It got horrible. They've tried it. I do think it was hilarious, like actually laugh out loud funny, that Rick Hahn was like, I'm not going to say anything about any candidate. However, we will tell you this, Sports Talk Radio. There will be no Ozzie Guillen, okay? We are taking that out of the equation. So stop talking about Ozzie Guillen, which to me was just hilarious because that comes directly from Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, and our wonderful callers.
And the idea that Ozzie was the first guy dismissed speaks to whatever... I don't know if it's a ridiculousness or if they're actually, you know, the baseball version, the X's and O's, the analytics reasons that a lot of GMs today have gained the power to pseudo-manage, to meta-manage. Here's 10,000 lines of data printout. Know them all for tonight's game. Know them all for every possible situation. And managers who want to grasp that are likely to get a job. Managers who don't want to grasp that, who want to go by what they see, what they feel, manage the game in front, what they think is in front of them, which we've often criticized Matt Nagy for, I have anyways, they're going to have a hard time getting a job. And I'd say Ozzie falls into the latter category, but he remains the only World Series manager that the White Sox have known, and he was the first guy they dismissed. Times change.
I think the bigger part of this, look, the White Sox thing is a non-starter. They gave Ozzie an opportunity, and he was successful, and he got every opportunity possible. The Sox don't owe Ozzie anything. Now, Ozzie Guillen at large, unfortunately, this is not a good time for Ozzie Guillen because general managers and owners want controllable managers. They want a guy who will work well with the front office. Ozzie Guillen thinks for himself, which is a kudos to him. He would have been better served working in the time of a guy that we mentioned earlier, and Earl Weaver and some of the other classic managers of the day, Tommy Lasorda, that were the faces of their franchises. Unfortunately for Ozzie, this is just not a good time to impose your will as a manager in baseball, and maybe that'll flip in 5 years, and I think he's a really good manager. I thought I covered him many years when he was with the White Sox, including their World Series run home and road, and I thought he was a good tactician, and I think he would be open to metrics and a different way of thinking. It's more about the personality and the control that he would have over an organization that is just not floating with GMs these days.
Yeah, I'd love to have a truth serum to know what it is with him specifically in the White Sox for him to be the first guy. You know, we're going to bring back Tony La Russa, but we're going to bring back a guy we fired and didn't win a World Series. The guy who won the World Series, we're not considering him at all. He's the first guy we X'd off.
We're not going to tell you anything about anything, but we will tell you this. No Ozzie.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right. 513, before Trash Panda leaves, I wanted to read this. There's 513 texture. There's a palpable tension today between Studs and Grody. Should we call a truce? The moms would not put up with this. Now, play nice, fellas.
Ooh, that's true. That's true.
That's right. So Gene, if Alice and Gene, if we put them on the air, ooh, boy.
Are we cool, Studs? Are we cool, buddy?
Oh, yeah, we're cool.
Your family's going to get
it. It's the text line that's criticizing me. You guys I don't care about.
Right.
Thank you. And we hold the same love for you.
Studs is like my radio nephew because, like, we got the Bears thing, and he, like, so that's always there. And I feel like I can rip him and he could rip me. We've got that kind of relationship. I don't want to have relationships with people where we can't, like, take each other on. Okay, Gene and Alice? Okay?
But if he were your radio niece, he'd get to go to the Katy Perry. He'd be a Katy cat, wouldn't he?
That's very true. The nieces got to go to – I took them to see Katy Perry. They used to come up in the Cubs booth. Yeah, the nieces get what they want.
So Studs is going to go out and wander into the Batman shooting and hope he gets to stay. All right.
mispronounce
Lee Elia and Joey Amma.
What an idiot.
Amma not going to manage. All right, we Amma going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some Bears football. Mark Rohde, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.